we're looking at the whole microbial community that lived in ocean waters. So what we like to say is that the forests of the sea are actually microbes. They're very small. You can't really see them with your naked eye, but they are the plants of the ocean, these phytoplankton, microbial phytoplankton, that feed the rest of the food chain. But what we were studying are not only the phytoplankton that are like the plants of the sea, but also everything they feed. So all the other microorganisms that are out there floating along with the phytoplankton. The new techniques that we've developed allow us to look at what each individual species in the whole community is doing simultaneously, and that's one of the new things about what we're doing. So what we did in this study was to compare the environment that we're familiar with out here at Station Aloha, which is 100 kilometers north of Oahu, and that's a station that oceanographers here at SOAS have been studying for many, many years, over 25 years. So we really understand a lot about the physics and chemistry of the ocean north of the island here. And of course, it's blue water. It's very clear. The place where there's the most chlorophyll, which oceanographers call the chlorophyll max, is pretty deep, around 125 meters. And of course, the waters are warm year-round. There's not a whole lot of seasonality compared to other places in the ocean. So we compared how the microbes are behaving out here north of Hawaii to what very similar species are doing off the coast of California. Now, of course, there the waters are quite different. It's quite cold. The waters are very cold, around 55 or so. There is quite a lot of seasonality. So, you know, you get big swings in terms of the amount of light and so on from summer to winter. And, of course, there's a lot more disturbance in the water from upwelling and other phenomena near the coast, lots of change in currents. So it's a much less stable environment, and we expected it to be really quite different. But the surprising thing about this study, the kind of punchline, is that over the course of the day, what we're able to do is look at how each species in the community is turning on and off its genes over the course of the day. And it turns out they do that like clockwork, so that any given species will have, I like to call them the breakfast genes, the ones they turn on in the morning, and then they'll turn on another set of genes at noon, and then another set of genes in the evening. And they do that repeatedly. So each and every day, it's the same pattern for a given species. And then if you look at how different species are turning on and off their genes, it's almost like a commute. You know, one will follow the other and then follow the other in an orderly pattern each day. So that's what we saw at Hawaii. And when we looked off the coast of California in Monterey Bay, to our surprise, even though the waters are so different, you know, the photic zone is much shallower than in Hawaii, and it's cold, and there's seasonality. Even with all those differences, the similar species that are found, microbial species in the waters there, are lining up and turning on and off their genes at exactly the same time of day, in exactly the same order as the ones out in Hawaii. And that's a big surprise, because what that means is, if you cross the Pacific Ocean, each and every day, any place you look, you're going to see that same progression of kind of species activity that happens across the whole Pacific. And that's a kind of a new discovery, a new way of thinking about how much order there is in the ocean. These wild microbial communities aren't just being tossed about by the waves in a random manner. They're highly orchestrated in terms of how they're tuning their activities into what time of day it is and to what the other species around them are doing. And with that kind of discovery, it gives us a chance to really make some predictions about how they're moving energy and matter around, basically, because that's the important things these microbes really do out there, is they produce and consume the energy that feeds into the rest of the food chain. And this kind of new perspective is going to allow us to really figure out who's doing what, you know, at exactly what time of day, each and every day. There's a lot of order out there. So what they're really doing is turning different sets of genes on and off. And here's the way to think about it. When the sun comes up, the phytoplankton need to turn on their genes for photosynthesis so that they can harvest the sunlight and make energy from sunlight. So in the morning time, like around 6 a.m., those are the genes they turn on. The phytoplankton turn on those genes for photosynthesis. Now, for the other microbes that are basically eating the carbon that the phytoplankton are making, they turn on genes, for instance, for growth early in the day, or they'll turn on genes for respiration. In essence, they breathe like we do, and so they'll turn on their genes for respiration at another time of day. That's how they're able to consume energy, basically. And then later on in the day, they might turn on a different set of genes for growth and making new cells, basically. So it's this kind of, you can think of it very simply as the way that we manage our day when we get up for breakfast and eat, and then we drive off to work, and then we do our work, and then we rest. It's analogous, except they're turning genes on and off for specific processes like growth or protein synthesis or making new cells, that sort of thing. But the interesting thing is that the different species are doing it at a slightly different time each day, each of those processes. So it's almost like a cascade of those activities between the different species. And that order of that cascade is, it turns out, the same. It looks like all the way across the ocean from, you know, Hawaii to the California coast. And so it's this amazing kind of orchestra of organisms, you know, behaving in a similar way across the course of each day, you know, over the entire ocean, which is, that's one of the bigger surprises. Species might, you know, one set of species that is of the phytoplankton, you know, would be turning on their genes for photosynthesis. And then other species of microbes that are basically eating the food, the carbon that the phytoplankton are making, will be turning on their genes just a little bit later in the day. And then, you know, another set of species a little bit later. So it's kind of almost a cascade. And but each species has its own precise time when it does that, and it does it the same way each and every day. Obviously, it's not something we think about all the time. We can't even see these microorganisms. But, you know, each teaspoon of seawater contains about a million microbes. And these guys are almost like the engines of the planet, because they're the ones that are, for instance, taking sunlight and basically making, you know, food and energy from that, just as plants do on land. These microbial phytoplankton do that in the ocean. So they fuel the whole food chain. And knowing these patterns of when they're doing things, for instance, turning on or off their photosynthetic genes, allows us to predict when things are happening over the course of the day. And one thing we can do by monitoring that is to understand when there's any disturbances, because these patterns that we're seeing are the kind of natural patterns that happen each day, you know, in a fairly stable environment. But if there's an environmental perturbation, we expect that we'll see changes in those gene expression patterns. So it's almost like we can take the pulse of the ocean a little bit using these techniques, knowing when each of those different species are turning on and off their genes. So you could think of it as a diagnostic almost. We're getting close to being able to really reading those outputs from the living sea, I like to call it, those microbes that are there all the time. The other reason it's important, of course, is because they are the foundation for the food web, that feeds up into higher food chain and stuff that we care about, like the fish that we eat. And by knowing how the base of that food chain works, being able to make predictions about it, it puts us in a better position to understand how the whole food chain is working, essentially. So those are kind of the motivators or the drivers or why this is maybe interesting, besides just understanding, you know, more how the world works. It does influence and impact stuff that we care about, like the health of the ocean and